There are a lot of things that matter to me. Family, community, culture, and peace of mind. Hi, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and when balancing life, I have to say nothing brings more comfort than having support. And when it comes to ensuring those things that matter to you the most, State Farm offers the support with an agent available in person or on the phone to discuss your coverage options. Support when you need it, however you choose. That's State Farm's way. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
You ever get the feeling the city walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating your soul? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe chase some elk, fish a private stream. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there, and finding your own piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forest, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, location, the kind of hunting or fishing you dream of. Land.com. It's where the adventure begins.
Welcome back, everybody, to a brand new episode of Wrestling with Freddie. Today it is Wrestling with Friends, because with me once again is the great one, Mr. Jeff Dye. We're talking WrestleMania's day one and two, all the crazy stuff from Seth's wardrobe, what, to Snoop Dogg on commentary and live music, to bagpipes and Money in the Bank getting cashed in. We're getting into all of it, and we're getting into it right now.
And now, your main event. Introducing the hosts of Wrestling with Freddie, Jeff Dye, and Freddie Prinze Jr.
Mr. Jeff, how are you, sir?
I'm feeling good, man. WrestleMania, it always juices me up. There's always a little, you know, the day after Christmas where you're like, all the adrenaline dumps, it's over. You know, it's like, oh, man, I was so excited about Christmas, and now Christmas is over. I know that we still get a Monday Night Raw, which will be very exciting.
Yeah.
The Raw after WrestleMania is always good. But then what? The Tuesday after that, that's the real day after Christmas. So we're going through that a little bit now that two nights of WrestleMania is over. I'm feeling a little, I'm all jacked up, but I'm a little sad.
You hear that, NXT? Tuesday night, all the pressure's on you to make wrestling fans happy, to make all of us happy. I'll disagree on one thing you said. The Monday after WrestleMania, there's never any matches. So I don't know if it's always good, but there's always like a good surprise for sure.
Yeah.
There's always a good surprise, but everybody's tired, so nobody wrestles on Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania. But let's get right into the show, man, because it had some misses, which we can get into if we have
time.
What
should we call the misses, Freddie? Should we call it Night One?
Yeah.
I mean,
nah, there was some good stuff night one. My match of WrestleMania was night one, Sami Zayn and Gunther. But yeah, so let's jump right into it. It started off with our champion. And when I say our champion, I mean strictly Jeff's and my champion, Rhea Ripley. The rest of you, if you want, you can apply to have her be your champion as well, but we approve it. She was wrestling former multi-time champion, another great one, Becky, the last kicker, Lynch. And this story, I just want to talk about it because the match was good. It wasn't great. Becky Lynch had like 104 fever and was suffering from the flu and still went out there and wrestled in 48 degrees.
I know. This weather is just trash. Night one and night two, the weather is garbage.
Brutal, brutal, brutal. But they were able to give us what I thought was a really solid finish. And I wanted to talk about the match because I like what they tried to do with this story. And the story was Becky wanted to fight Rhea not so much to be the champ, but to see if she could beat her, to see if she had what it takes. She said that multiple times. But the part that I thought was cool, and I credit Ariel Helwani for this, was they went old school 80s style and had a fight on a talk show. And it wasn't necessarily a wrestling talk show. It was the Mixed Martial Arts Hour with Ariel Helwani, the MMA Hour with Ariel. And I've done his show before, and he's a huge wrestling fan. This guy was at the Screwjob in Montreal as a young fan, cheering for Bret Hart and watching this go down. And now he's the voice for news when it comes to UFC and mixed martial arts in general. And he has wrestlers on every once in a while. He had CM Punk on, and CM Punk talked a lot. The interview where he talked a lot of shit on Tony Khan and AEW. And now I guess they're going to release the footage of what he said.
You know what? I'm not supposed to be excited about that, but I'm excited about it.
I think everyone is in a weird way. But he features wrestlers, and he featured Rhea. And Becky Lynch called into the show while the interview was going on. I was like, yeah, I heard you were talking some shit. I'll be right up. And she came up the elevator, and they just fought and beat the hell out of each other right there on the show. And some of you may go, yeah, but that's all a work. Well, yeah, it is all a work. But everything is work, is a work. And if it brings 10 more eyeballs to wrestling, then that's a good thing, and that's a win. And I think it probably brought quite a few more than 10. That means more money for the brand, which means they can afford to pay wrestlers more money, which means they can afford to pay more wrestlers, which means if there's a big enough demand for it, there could be another wrestling show because they have enough wrestlers. It's all good things. And I like how, since they've done this TKO takeover and this new creative direction with Triple H, which we'll get into more on the Thursday Unsanctioned episode, I thought they told a good story in a condensed amount of time, and they took as many opportunities as they could to put the story over. And I thought the Ariel Helwani thing was smart. Did you like this match at all, or was it just too cold for them to move out there?
It did look a little clunky, but I liked the match. What do we think about that entrance?
Okay, the lead singer of the band oddly looked a lot like Rhea Ripley. That was the weird part. At first, I was like, is that Rhea Ripley from like 3 years ago? Like, what happened?
Yeah, it's exactly what I thought.
But WWE's been screwing up the sound with these musical acts. It started with Top Dollar back when we were like, please don't let them rap on an open mic again.
Yeah.
And then all the live stuff except the bagpipes, all the live music was whack. Like Lil Wayne did not sound good. This did not sound good. The sound kept cutting out. It was just weird. And I would have rather heard her own music and have her come out with like sex slaves on their knees bowing down to her as she like walks by. Something crazy like that. I didn't click with the music thing at all, but I don't think it was the band's fault. It's just the sound was awful. People on AEW sound. This was awful.
Yeah, I think that wrestling has become very it's still very dated. Those are the moments where it feels dated. When you see her singing along with them and you're like, what with the gothic and the leather and the spikes and all, it just still feels very like we're bad guys and we're gothic. Ooh. It was like just gone. What is this? It was very, very confusing.
I did like the look. I did like the look that they were trying to put out there, but the rest of it just didn't. It just didn't play. Like she should have rode in on like a Harley or Indian motorcycle or something like that. Something badass.
The whole stable, Rhea Ripley, Finn Balor, Damian Priest, they all look like 1996 Utah, like rebellious, like we are
SLC punk.
Yeah, like all the ones that are like, our parents are Mormon, but we don't do that. Look how naughty we are. We're into eye makeup and tattoos, and I wear leather. And the music I listen to is extreme. So anyways, it feels like that, but I love,
we dyed our blonde hair black. We're extreme.
Look at my makeup makes it look like I'm crying blood.
They do kind of look like 90s Salt Lake City punk. That's really specific and weird.
But I did love the match. You know, it's good to see Rhea Ripley kicking butt. We predicted it. We called it.
We called everything right. I think we got them all.
I think you did for sure.
I think so. Yeah. And the finish of that match was really cool. She like did a double. She did her finisher and smashed her in the turnbuckle first and then did it again after that. And was like, now your ass is going to stay down, bitch. And just held her there. It was a really cool finish.
I also don't want to make it sound like I'm talking trash. That's always what I'm afraid of whenever I'm trying to just be honest on here. I'm always afraid that someone's going to think I'm talking trash. They did more extreme things outside of the ring as far as like really executing like moves than they did in the ring. Like, yeah. Becky did this, like, leg drop off the top rope that, like, looked badass. Like she just kind of fell down. Like, she didn't, like, really jump up. It looks like she just kind of, like...
It looked just, like it landed on her throat.
It was very weird. But then outside the ring, they did this, like, hard slam onto the thing. And I was like, oh, that's, like, really convincing. So, anyways, it was really good. I was very happy with the finish. I love Rhea Ripley. I love Becky Lynch. And I'm happy with it. So,
I want to touch on my match of WrestleMania quickly. And I don't know how you felt about it, but I loved Sami Zayn versus Gunther. My kids watched it. Well, my daughter watched it with me. My son only cares about Kevin Owens and anime. That's it. Charlotte watched with me. I really loved this match. They even, after we recorded last week's episode, because we record these on Mondays, I said they're doing the Rocky III storyline where Rocky's talking to Apollo Creed and he's like, I'm afraid, okay? They did that exact scene that Monday night after we recorded that exact scene. They just stole it straight up, not stolen, but paying tribute to Rocky III in that moment where he's like, I'm afraid, okay? And I don't think I can win. They did the whole thing. So now I know, that's why I knew Sammy was going to win in that moment right there. I told my kid, I was like, he's going to win. And they went out there and they had what I thought there were two men that stole the show in different ways. One was Gunther in the way he sold and the way he attacked. Like, this dude, that he lost for a reason, because he's moving up the ranks and is going to be a threat for a world title really, really soon. Gunther's the man. Sammy has always been a great story since the Bloodline. This was awesome. My kid loved it. I loved it. It was my match of WrestleMania, my Mania match. And we'll get into the other guy that I think stole the show a little bit later. But what'd you think of this story match? Or did you even care?
What is it about this that made it your WrestleMania match?
When it's two guys trying to outsell each other, when it's two guys trying to make the other guy look as tough as he can possibly be, those are the matches that just kind of like put me over the moon, because I see like just nothing but selflessness. Like, oh, you thought you made that my hit look good? I'm going to make your hit look even better. And these guys, just without overselling it, Shawn Michaels, Hulk Hogan style, just really made one another look fantastic. Thought they told a good story of Sammy not staying down. He's always going to get up no matter what. I thought Gunther was super patient in waiting to show his frustration. He didn't just get pissed off right away and rush the whole match because they had time. I loved that Sammy's lady was out there. Like, just everything about it was just right to me, especially when it's two guys trying to outsell each other. That's why I loved it.
I liked it. I don't have much to say about the match, but I just thought it was good. It does feel like two guys really trying to climb the ladder in the same ring together. So that's fun. I liked it. I like both these dudes. I think they're both, they're B guys to me. But they're both trying to be A guys, and I root for both of them, so... It was good. It was a good match. It was very dramatic. The audience seemed surprisingly alive for it. So I think there was something magic about this match.
Sammy's the magic. Gunther's just the shit. But Sammy is, because we relate to Sammy, man. He's the everyman. Gunther's the big bad villain. Sammy's the everyman.
I often get asked why I'm such a big fan of wrestling. And it's all thanks to my grandma. Growing up, we would watch matches together, and that bond turned me into a lifelong fan. Hi, I'm Freddie Prinze Jr., and on my podcast, Wrestling with Freddie, we know how important it is to have the right teammate, because things can get pretty tricky quick. So, when things get complicated and you need help, State Farm gives you options. They show you what's possible for insuring what matters to you. One of the things that matters to me: sharing memories and revisiting wrestling's greatest moments. And with State Farm's support of the My Cultura podcast network, I get to do just that. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos antibióticos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
You ever get the feeling the city walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating your soul? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe chase some elk, fish a private stream. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there, and finding your own piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forest, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, location, the kind of hunting or fishing you dream of. Land.com. It's where the adventure begins.
So before we get into the Cody Rhodes Seth Rollins tag team match against the Bloodline, the LWO wrestled against Legado, and or Legado beat down Dragon Lee, so Rey Mysterio's partner Dragon Lee couldn't wrestle. Andrade said, "I'll be your partner," even though the story they told us he came out with the Legado side, and then he flips sides and he takes Rey's side, and he's the newest member of the LWO. So we think he may not be. It may have just been a one-time thing. But this was the man that I felt stole the entire show, minus the main event on day two. But as far as day one goes, he made so much of his opportunity. This is a tag team match that had Jason Kelsey and some other dude that plays football gimmicky in this match. And every time this dude was in the ring, he was frigging perfect. And every move he did looked so real and so legit. And he was just, I mean, everything from the back moonsault landing on his feet. Oh, you dodged that? Here's another one. Pow, pow. Got him. Here comes my kick. Oh, psych. I didn't kick you. I hit you with the spinning elbow. Pow, pow, pow. This dude was so money. And if this leads to a Santos versus Andrade at like SummerSlam or something like that, they will steal that entire pay-per-view. Those two guys will absolutely kill it. Andrade was awesome. I know this wasn't the most compelling match for people to watch because it was the C story. Sammy was the B story. Cody being the A story. But I just had to mention him because I friggin' love this dude. I follow him on Instagram. I wish I looked like him. I'm trying to work out. And then I realize it's because I eat ice cream. It's probably why I don't look like him. But yeah, man, I just thought he absolutely made the most of his opportunity. And he was flawless, like zero mistake, everything. It wasn't like, oh, he was like 90% on this. No, he was 100% perfect on every single move he did. It was unreal. And I loved it. Go ahead, Jeff. What do you want to get into? Tag teams?
I think this is the best match that we've talked about. I had more fun watching this match than Becky and Rhea. I had more fun watching this than Gunther and Sami Zayn. Like, Mexican wrestling is the greatest. I mean, I actually think the worst part of this was the celebrity spot with the football guys.
Yeah, that was
like, and also, it was so obvious. I mean, they got the Lucha masks that look exactly like Philadelphia Eagles masks. I mean, even the way the Lucha mask goes up with the kind of the wings.
To
on
be
the side,
fair, there is no like Lucha mask that fits either one of those guys.
Yeah, but all these guys are so good. There was multiple spots that were awesome. They did the thing where they grab the ropes and they fling him all the way across.
Dude,
so
my man
launched
100 feet
on this. Andrade jumped off the top rope onto dudes multiple times in the ring, out of the ring. Like, there's just so many moments. And I love Lucha wrestling.
Andrade put Rey on his shoulders and jumped off with Rey on his shoulders.
So awesome.
I've never even seen that.
It's amazing. And also Dom, crazy. Good on Dom. Dom caught the brunt of that spot.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Andrade's whole body went on Dom outside the ring. You're like, good thing that kid's young, because that was a pretty big fall. A lot of weight came on Dom.
But anyways, yeah, man.
It was awesome.
All right. Tag team match. We called this from Jump Street, you guys. Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins versus The Bloodline, The Rock, and Roman Reigns, the former Universal Champion. It went down the way we thought it would go down. There was no way they could win, or it makes the main event the following night less interesting. So the bad guys had to win, and the bad guys won. And I wasn't, you know, I liked the match, but the way they made the stipulation, it could only go one way. So there wasn't much suspense. Like, my daughter walked out of the room a couple times, came back in. You know what I mean? Like, she just wasn't, because yeah. She knew. She was like, oh, I thought this was going to be the main event. I was like, nah, that's tomorrow night. She's like, oh, well, they're going to win. Like, she knew, and she's 14. So it was what it was for me, but it was a good build up. It was like watching a trailer for a movie.
Right.
I'd rather see the movie, but the trailer was cool.
Yeah, I thought it was as underwhelming as it could be. It was very, very underwhelming. There was some cool spots. I like when they use the tables, which I don't know. I wish someone was keeping count of this. There was so many table spots in night one and night two of WrestleMania.
47 table spots. No,
I'm telling you, dude, there was a lot, which makes me happy. I like stuff like that. But the match was good, but I don't think it was night one main event of WrestleMania good. That's just my criticism. And I think that we went from a busted ass night one to an incredible night two. And maybe that's why night two seemed so good, is because night one was so underwhelming.
No, night two was dope. Let's get right into night two. The show opened and it's Seth Rollins, who we have to talk about before we get into this match, and Drew McIntyre. So my daughter, while we were watching this, and I even wrote this to you guys, as if I came up with it, said he looks like a professor from Hogwarts. This was on night one. And I said, yeah, he's Professor Rolinicus. He's the new Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher. And she started giggling. I've said this before. You dress as stupid as you want, dude. I still think you're one of the top three wrestlers on the entire planet. Night two, he challenged me again when he came out like Willy Wonka's cousin and walked out there with the whole parade. Now, I get that they're celebrating. This is what I said to my daughter. I said, they're celebrating the culture of the local community. And this parade is like their kind of local thing. She goes right away. She goes, well, they didn't do that in LA, Dad. I said, well, they kind of did with like the Hollywood stage and all that. She goes, nah, this is just weird. Like, she's not buying it. But my man came out dressed like a fool and walked out. CM Punk was the commentator for the match, and he even shit on it, but that's pretty much in his wheelhouse. And then they told the story of Seth Rollins, who's been injured for like 9 months, it feels like. And eventually he was going to break down, and Drew McIntyre was the one that was going to break him. And he said it in an arrogant way. He said it in a humble way. He said it in an I feel sorry for you kind of way. Like, I'm going to have to break you. Like, he did everything you can do to be the heel in this storyline, but people still love Drew. He even kept reminding him that he's the reason CM Punk wasn't there. CM Punk's wearing an arm brace through this whole thing for his torn muscle. And then they had this match, which started off, and I honestly thought, oh my God, is it going to be 1, 2, 3 and over? Because right away, Drew hits him with his finisher. And I was like, are they doing that? Like, is he going to hit it, boom, and then the whole match is over, and then Damian Priest is going to run out, because that would be the way that goes. But no, instead, it was an AEW match where they hit each other with their finishers 27 times each and kept kicking out and kept kicking out, and it was a pretty friggin' awesome match, dude. I know you like this match. I know you like this match.
Yeah, I did like the match. I'm a huge fan of McIntyre. The opening, I just couldn't get over it. I was just sitting there going, what are we doing?
It looked like Adam Rose. Remember that like NXT guy that came out with like all the party people?
Yeah.
He was like a British guy. I was like, yo, it looks like the Adam Rose walk. Like, why are they redoing that?
I couldn't understand Creed, what the heck was going on, dude. It was very confusing, but it was good. I was happy about it, but it was also very confusing to my old school wrestling brain.
All right. Moving on. I've never heard the word creep applied more appropriately. That's what that look was. It was creep. I want to talk about my favorite ladies match of the WrestleMania, which was Bayley versus Io. And this story's been like the sweet cake story, right? Like it's poor Bayley. She's been the victim. She tried to create something awesome. It got taken away from her by evil EO and jealous Dakota. And then once Kyrie came, Kyrie's like, man, forget this. Get rid of her, man. We can run this Japanese style and we'll keep Dakota around. And they asked her out and would make fun of her and talk all this shit and made everybody love Bayley. And they kept talking about she's never had her WrestleMania moment, winning that championship, getting over. This match was so much fun to watch. I don't know if she's the best wrestler, but she's the coolest wrestler. Like the moves she does and the attitude on her face and the way she just looks at you when she gets one over on you, like everything she, I wanted her to win for a little bit and I'm pulling for Bayley. But she did a few things where I was just like, yo, why doesn't they make her wrestle every week? Like just, she did a flip out of Bayley's finisher, landed and just looked at her with her hands up like, what, bitch? I'll kill you. You got nothing on me. And Bayley was undaunted and hit her with the belly to Bayley like three different times and finally nailed her with the finisher. And Io's down and out and Bayley's the new women's champion. But this match was, I keep cussing this week, but it's WrestleMania, man. This match was friggin' awesome. I had a ton of fun watching it. It was 10 degrees warmer in the arena, so that had to help. But Io Sky, I know she's not the champ anymore, and Bayley was great too. I'm not trying to take anything away from Bayley, but she just is so smooth with it. Like everything is just as cool, like a rock star. Like you just want to hang out with her. Like she's just sick. And I love this match. I thought it was awesome, Jeff.
I like everything. I think that what happened with Damage Control is it was something cool. We wondered if it would become something else, and it did. And because it did exactly as we predicted, like I felt like the storytelling was a little too on the nose. We're like, I bet they're going to turn on Bayley, right? Remember, we kind of predicted that before it happened.
Yeah.
But then it seemed like for weeks they were making it too obvious that that's exactly what was going to happen. So then our prediction just seemed like, well, of course that's what they're going to do, them have them turn on Bayley. So like it felt like the ending to a story that was just a little too predictable for me.
I agree with everything you just said, totally.
But I do like Damage Control, and I do like Bayley, I think, and I like the story even. I just think it was a little too obvious what was going to happen. It didn't really surprise us much. We're just kind of like, yep, of course. But yeah, Damage Control is super cool, and I'm curious what they're going to, what Bayley's going to do now. Like, what is the next chapter for Bayley?
I hope it's not over. I would love to see those two wrestle again, the way Cena and Orton did back in the day, back and forth, back and forth. I would, because those two put on a great match, and it'd be a shame if it was a one-off. It was too good. I'd like to see what they come up with next.
As an actor, a producer, and a proud Latino father, my days can get very busy, which is why I make sure to dedicate time to what's important, like supporting my community through my work, sharing my Colombian and Venezuelan culture, and being present for my family, which is everything to me. Hey everyone, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and we're reflecting on what matters most. I start by giving thanks for good support in my life whenever I need to make the big decisions. How about you? If it's insurance you need, State Farm is there to help you choose the right coverage for you. And State Farm offers great support 24/7. Just call an agent. State Farm is also a big supporter of My Cultura Podcast Network by helping to share our Latinx voices. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you get your podcasts.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20 en español.com. problem.
You ever get the feeling the city walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating your soul? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe chase some elk, fish a private stream. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there, and finding your own piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, location, the kind of hunting or fishing you dream of. Land.com. It's where the adventure begins.
Run out of time, Jeff. Let's get right to it. But before we do, I got to handle some business. Are you cool with that?
Of course.
All right, y'all. Premier Wrestling. This is a company that I'm a part owner in, and that we've created an app. This is social media for wrestling fans. You don't get interrupted with any other BS in there at all. Check it out. It is for the sole purpose of allowing fans to catalog your own wrestling history. The cornerstone of the app is the My Fandom section, with over 50,000 events spanning 40 years and more being added every single day. Fans can create a full chronological list of every event they've attended and every event they've ever watched. You can post your ticket stubs, everything, show everybody what you're doing. There's also a social aspect to the app. You can follow other wrestling fans and wrestling personalities to see what events they attend. Our podcast is going to be represented on there, Wrestling with Friends, Wrestling with Freddie. You can like the posts. You can share them on your own timeline. In addition to My Fandom, we have a section called Arenas. These are for you to talk about shows that are happening, as well as a place to watch specific live specials like events, Q&A, and watch-alongs. In addition to all that, there's an extensive library of Premier Wrestling original shows and podcasts, as well as collections matches from some of wrestling's biggest names. And if that wasn't enough, we also have a news section bringing you the very latest in pro wrestling news. This is a very, very simple app, you guys. It's all wrestling. There's nothing else on it. It's better than Instagram. It's better than X. It's better than all those other things, because you don't get interrupted with anything else. So go check it out. You can see when your indie wrestlers are going to what shows, they post what shows they have, all that good stuff. So check it out, please. If you like it, let us know. And if you don't, you can let me know too, because I'll take it either way. Let's move on to the main event, sir. Cody versus Roman. Bloodline rules, as The Rock said it would be. So it was. And everything kind of happened. This was like the Bayley EO storyline, a predictable storyline, but one that everyone has been very, very committed to. And so committed that WWE changed course. For those of you who don't know, they had a different plan, and the fan outcry was so loud that they switched back to their original plan of making Cody the Universal Champion, almost called him the Heavyweight Champion. This story's been going on for 2 years, Jeff. We were at what we thought would be the culmination last year in Los Angeles, but Cody lost and had to wait another year for whatever reason. But now, I guess, was the time. The Rock came back. The Rock tried to steal his match. The fans demanded that not happen. Cody came back and made sure it wouldn't happen. The Rock made him promises that he kept. I'm going to make him bleed. I'm going to make him cry, sweat, bleed. All the liquids from your body will be on this belt, and I'm going to show it to your mama. And he did. And he's the ultimate heel, and the crowd loved him and hated him for it. I thought they did a great job telling this story. Everybody knew Cody was going to win. The Bloodline rules was basically every other match Roman Reigns has, which is all the Bloodline comes in and interferes in the match. So I don't understand why it was such a big deal this time, since that's been every match since the Bloodline has been created. But yeah, man, it was good to see Cody win. My daughter asked me who Dusty Rhodes was. I got to tell her all about Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream. And yeah, it was a real feel good moment. I think it's great for the company. If you saw the cover of WWE 2K, you knew Cody was going to win a long time ago. He is the face of the franchise now, but I think they picked the right guy moving forward, and we'll see what's next for Roman. You know, we'll talk about creative wise in Thursday's Unsanctioned, but maybe he's taking a step away from wrestling here pretty soon, and he's going to chase the Hollywood dream as well. You never know. But what did you think of the story, the match, and all the stuff in between, sir?
Well, all the interruptions was fascinating. You know, it's like, you think at this point they'd be in a cage match. Not even so that we could see a cage match, just so there's no shenanigans. You know, like just to be a preventative cage. Just it has nothing to do with them climbing it. They don't have to get out. Nobody has to be thrown off of it or thrown through it. Just to keep Solo Sikoa out just to keep the whatever celebrity they want to hit the music for to run down. And there was a point where it was literally Cody, Roman, and then out of nowhere, we had this like dream sequence of just John Cena, Roman Reigns, and Cody were just outside of the ring. It wasn't even about them anymore. It was this whole separate thing that just happened in the middle of their match. Like, we took like a commercial break from the actual match to watch all this like weird stuff. I liked it, but it was very confusing and all kind of at once. But I did love the match. My only complaint about the main event, because I liked it, was that all the good guys come out from the back and hoist him up on their shoulders, and his mom's in the ring and all this stuff. It's like, I don't need to see LA Knight in sweatpants and Freddie or Sami Zayn going, this is the moment. This is what it's all about. You with your family in here, you enjoy it. And I was going, get it, knock it off. We're all breaking character. He's soft as hell. He's crying about winning the championship. It's like, you know,
I like the crying, dude. You don't
3 years ago. We didn't even like Cody Rhodes. If we'd have brought up Stardust on this podcast back then, we would have been laughed off the network going, these guys wasting their time talking about Cody Rhodes. He wasn't even famous in his own wrestling place that he invented.
He was super famous. I'd take you to task on that one,
dude. No one cared about Cody Rhodes till 3 years ago.
No, they cared enough that they even started booing and then started hating him at AEW.
That's my point. We hated him. Oh, yeah. They like, he left his own thing. Nobody could care less about Cody Rhodes. I don't know how this happens so fast. It is fascinating that he's the guy that they picked to dethrone Roman Reigns. I'm very, very, very surprised about it. And I look forward to seeing what he does. Yeah.
Let me throw this at you then, because I look at it from a completely different angle. I'm looking at a guy who failed, had to leave, was humiliated. Humiliated his family's name, even with the Stardust and losing to Stephen Amell and all mm-hmm. this bullshit and then the dashing mustache and all that shit that he had to do. Goes to Japan, tries to be reborn, meets some other guys out there, comes up with an idea, turns that idea into a plan, turns that plan comes to fruition. That fruition is a company, AEW, and he is All Elite. He puts on an amazing match with Sammy Guevara when he knows he's getting ready to leave to put the title over to him. He got over big in AEW. Then they hated him in AEW because he got too over, which happens in WWE and everywhere. Then he leaves the company he started to get a rocket ship strapped to his ass and the company that fired him to become then the world champion. I could tell you another story like that. It's the story of Arnold Schwarzenegger. He came from nothing. He didn't speak the language. He got famous for bodybuilding. He moves to America. He can't speak. Bill Burr talked about this. He couldn't speak the language, but he becomes a huge movie star. Then what's he going to do? Marry a Kennedy, then become the governor of California. This is an amazing story. Like, this is what Cody's gone through. And I look at it from the positive side. It's like, look at all the shit this guy accomplished and then walked away from to get one more shot in WWE. And then he actually pulled it off. And now he's the cover of the video game. So, yeah, man, I think that's badass. That's the flip side of that quarter.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's, you're making a good argument.
But that's not, I don't give a shit. I still feel the same way.
No, you sold me the story. I really like it. I guess what I was doing in my brain is going, all right, why wasn't it this wrestler to dethrone him? Why wasn't it this wrestler to dethrone him?
There's a lot of
why wasn't it this wrestler? Because you got guys who were at the company sitting around going, I thought that I was climbing the mountain to this. I thought that I was the guy. You know, like, I've been popular over here forever. And I just keep getting these crap storylines. You know, it's like, why is AJ Styles the guy to dethrone? Remember how bad we wanted AJ Styles in WWE?
He's been champ twice.
Yeah, but like, why not dethrone? Well, you know what? Why not be the one?
Why
to
couldn't
dethrone?
He be the one? Well, because it was why always not? Bloodline rules, apparently. We just didn't know.
So I guess what I was doing, to my fault, was like just comparing, going, why are we not, giving it to so-and-so? And why is Cody the chosen one? But it was beautiful. And the family versus family thing makes it a great argument, too, like to have,
I like
you know, the bloodline and then the Rhodes family, like those two things. So I do like that. I'm happy for him. And the fact that everyone else loves him so much, you got the ring announcer crying as she introduces him as the man. Thing. It seems like everyone in that locker room or backstage, whatever it's called, seems to be believing that this is the guy that should have won. So then who am I to judge it?
Yo, how much bigger was Randy Orton than everyone else in the ring when he was
amazing.
So let me, I was like, dude, he's so huge.
Yeah, I know. It's
so
impressive.
Much bigger.
You go, why isn't he the champion? Look at the size of that freak. If
for real, he'd be my champ. That's straight up. Straight up. All right, you guys. Whether you feel it was Cody's time or not, hit us up on our social media, on our Instagram when we post our little heads up and things. I post them on mine. Jeff posts them on his. Demand that we get hour-long episodes if that's what you want. And give us some good reviews. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. Tell everybody you know about us. And tune in Thursday for Unsanctioned Thursdays, where we get a little deeper into wrestling, and I'm going to talk about the process of my own federation and one of the steps that I've already taken, and I'll describe what it was like and all that good stuff, so you guys can get a better sense of it too. On behalf of Jeff Dye and Freddie Prinze Jr., and this was Wrestling with Freddie. This has been a production of iHeart's My Cultura Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
There are a lot of things that matter to me. Family, community, culture, and peace of mind. Hi, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and when balancing life, I have to say nothing brings more comfort than having support. And when it comes to ensuring those things that matter to you the most, State Farm offers the support with an agent available in person or on the phone to discuss your coverage options. Support when you need it, however you choose. That's State Farm's way. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You ever get that feeling like the concrete jungle's closing in? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to chase your own dinner, or just breathe clean air. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there waiting, and finding your piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, price, location. They've got it all. No matter what kind of wild dream you're chasing, land.com can help you find the ground to make it a reality. So quit dreaming. Head over to land.com, find your open space, and get out there.